This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Game Night with Matt Perrault.
So I mentioned earlier during the show that a friend of mine was a former center for UCLA, and he is ecstatic that the Ball family is no longer associated with UCLA, but there is a fallout from this. There is a recruiting issue, there's a talent issue, there's what Steve Alford had banked on, which was going to be three straight years of having a Ball family member part of UCLA basketball. That will not happen now, as all contact, association with the Ball family has ceased, and the Ball family has now been essentially cut out of the family at UCLA. Ricky O'Donnell covering college and pro basketball for SB Nation, joining us here on Game Night. Ricky, Matt Perrault, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for the time. All right, so let's take a look at this from a UCLA standpoint. How big of a deal is this that they lost a freshman that they were going to lean on this year, and his younger brother, who they thought, you know, right now is ranked as a top 20 recruit? I don't know if that's because of his siblings or because LiAngelo is actually is that good. But what do you make of the impact for UCLA going forward without the Ball family attached to it?
You know, we wrote this at SB Nation today. I think this works out pretty great for both parties. For UCLA's side, you know, they took the two younger brothers, LiAngelo and LaMelo, because they wanted Lonzo. And they got one great season out of Lonzo Ball. You remember the season before Lonzo showed up on campus for UCLA, they went 15-17. Steve Alford was literally paying back his salary to the university because they underachieved so much. Lonzo comes in. They win a ton of games. They're one of the best teams in the country. They play a super cool, fun, up-tempo style. They go to the Sweet 16. Lonzo becomes the second pick in the NBA draft. So that made UCLA cool again. And they brought in a really good recruiting class this season to follow up on that. The problem is that LiAngelo is just never going to be the same caliber of player that Lonzo is. 247 Sports ranked LiAngelo as the number 230 player in his high school class. He was someone who probably should have been at a mid-major, been a four-year guy over there. Instead, he goes to UCLA. Now, LaMelo is a little bit of a different story because ESPN has him ranked 7th overall. I personally don't see it. I think he's just a really inefficient offensive player. But obviously, he does have some talent. He probably would have been a good player for UCLA. But I think that ultimately, this is the best thing possible for UCLA because they totally get out from underneath the shadow of LeVar Ball. All those distractions are gone now. It just becomes sort of a normal program. So they got their one-year Lonzo. It worked out great for him. And now I think you're going to sort of see, UCLA can just finally get back to playing basketball and they don't have to worry about the Ball sideshow.
I agree. Now, tell me why you think this works out well for the Ball family, because you just mentioned it that LaMelo and LiAngelo are both questionable Division I talents, and Lonzo Ball is having a mighty hard time in the NBA right now. I think the Ball family is running the risk of being irrelevant in 2 years if Lonzo Ball continues to struggle in the NBA and the two younger brothers are not even close to making it.
Well, this is what I wrote on SB Nation today. I just feel like the Balls never wanted to be normal college basketball players. LiAngelo Ball wasn't going to be a four-year guy at UCLA who got a little bit better every year, earned his degree. You know, LaMelo already has 3 million Instagram followers. He's more famous than at least half of the NBA, if not more than that. They didn't want to be normal basketball players. So I think that this works out well for college basketball because, you know, college basketball, for all of its flaws, the one thing it still has is just incredible marketing power. And yeah. I think LeVar Ball knew that. And he took a system that typically exploits kids, and he exploited the system. He just drained all of the, you know, marketing power and all of the exposure that he could from Lonzo's one season at UCLA, and he turned himself into, you know, an international celebrity. And I think in that sense, LiAngelo Ball stealing sunglasses from China, that might be the best thing that happened to them from the family's perspective, just because it made them even more famous. It got LeVar on CNN. It got Donald Trump tweeting about him every morning. I mean, yeah. LiAngelo is supposed to be the black sheep of the family talent-wise, and somehow he ends up elevating the family's level of exposure even more. So now, you know, in college, if you're going to play college basketball, you can't make any money. Well, you know, you can't make money off your likeness, I should say. Well, LaMelo has his own signature shoe. LiAngelo's going to get his own shoe now on the family's big baller brand imprint. So they're going to be doing pop-up shops around the world. They're going to be doing, who knows? Who knows what schemes LeVar has up his sleeve to make a buck? But I think that, you know, this just sort of worked out for both sides because the Balls, they never wanted to be normal college basketball players. They weren't going to be four-year guys.
But, Ricky, I mean, the whole thing behind the shoe contracts, behind a shoe deal, and the selling of the shoes, more importantly, forget making them, how about selling them, is that you have to be a good player. You got to be Kevin Durant, you got to be Steph Curry, you got to be LeBron James. And if Lonzo Ball is a guy who's scoring 2 points in 22 minutes like he did this week, and his two brothers are irrelevant, are people wearing the Big Baller brand because it's cool and the actual guy who endorses it doesn't matter?
Sure. Well, I think Lonzo can still be a really good player. I was very high on Lonzo coming out of UCLA. He has struggled, for sure. He is only 20 years old, but I still think that he'll be a very good NBA point guard. But the other thing they're selling isn't just, basketball players. It's sort of like image, I guess, that people latch onto. I mean, if you look at LeVar Ball comments on Twitter, yeah, there's a lot of negative ones, but there's people who think that he's amazing. They really, sort of identify with his brash personality. So I think that, what LeVar Ball is selling just sort of goes so far beyond basketball at this point. He's turned into a complete sideshow, and the people who, loved it up to this point are probably still going to ride for him, even after he pulled LiAngelo out of UCLA.
Rookie O'Donnell, SB Nation, joining us here on Game Night. See, that's why I think Lonzo Ball won't be a great NBA player, because the bar his dad set for him is unreachable. And the comments that he made for a shy kid who should have been drafted 15th or 16th overall and should have been, a guy off the bench, the 7th or 8th guy off the bench, is now in Los Angeles in the number 2 media market playing big minutes, and he can't hit the broadside of a barn with a jump shot, and that's not going to change anytime soon. He can pass, don't get me wrong. He's an elite passer, and he's a guy who can see the floor, but he can't shoot to save his life. In today's NBA, that's a big problem. Do you think LeVar Ball, because of the, quote, LeVar Ball rule with the Lakers, becomes a bigger problem with his mouth if things really go south and maybe Lonzo doesn't play very much the rest of the year for L.A.?
Yeah, well, I think Lonzo earned the number 2 pick with his play, to be honest. I mean, in college, he shot 44% from three-point range. He does have an unorthodox delivery, but he gets good rotation on the ball. He has good touch. We've seen a ton of college players come into the NBA and struggle initially with their shot at first, just because the NBA line is deeper. The speed of the game is so much faster. So I don't think that LeVar's hype is the reason that Lonzo went number 2. I mean, Lonzo's a brilliant player, very skilled passer, as you said. And he does have some flaws in his game, though. He's skinny. He's young. He can't really shoot going right because of that delivery on his shot. So I think that at this point, Lonzo is probably just going to want to separate himself from LeVar a little bit. And, LeVar, now that he's got the two other sons sort of under his wing, he's, proudly proclaiming he's going to train them both for the NBA draft better than their schools could have. I think that they're just going to turn into some sort of like touring sideshow where they're doing pop-up shops in London. They had one in China when UCLA was over there. So I think that they're just going to sort of be their own thing. And Lonzo, he's going to have to figure out the NBA game, because right now he's struggling. But, Brandon Ingram struggled a lot last year for the Lakers. He was one of the worst players in the league statistically. And in his second year, he's been really good for them. So I think, people are pretty impatient sometimes with young players in the NBA. It's going to take some time for Lonzo. He's been bad so far. There's no doubt about it. But I still think he has some high upside, and he'll eventually be a good player for Los Angeles.
But the difference, though, Ricky, is that we didn't hear from Brandon Ingram's father saying he was going to be better than LeBron James. We didn't say take LeBron James off the Cavaliers and put Brandon Ingram on the Cavaliers, and they're going to win the championship even easier. We didn't hear the father guarantee Rookie of the Year and a playoff berth for the Lakers coming out of year one with Brandon Ingram. And this is an 8-15 basketball team that's about to go on a really tough road trip, and they're probably going to be 8-20. And now we've got heat on the head coach. We've got heat on the front office. And there are other rookies, including Kyle Kuzma, drafted way behind Lonzo Ball, who have been 10 times better. I mean, Jason Tatum is shooting better from three-point land than Lonzo Ball is from the foul line.
Yeah, I mean, did LeVar put a target on Lonzo's back? I mean, sure, absolutely. I think Patrick Beverley even said as much when the Rockets played the Lakers opening night. But, ultimately, I mean, it's going to be up to Lonzo to figure it out. Like,
right. Yeah,
maybe he entered the league with a reputation that he wouldn't have if he didn't have such an outlandish father. But, I mean, the game is the game. It comes down to more than media hype and, what people are talking about in headlines. He's going to have to get physically stronger. He's going to have to find a way to have his jump shots go in. And Lakers are just going to have to, surround him with more shooters, similar to what UCLA did, where it's more of a wide-open, spread-style offense. But to this point, Lonzo has had a rough go of it. There's no doubt about that as an NBA rookie. And it's easy to think LeVar put a lot of extra pressure on him, because I'm sure he did with all his comments.
Sure. I mean, look, we've seen busts before, though, right? Are you telling me there's no way that Lonzo Ball can't be Adam Morrison?
Oh, he could be. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he will be personally, but he certainly could be. There's busts in the top five of the NBA draft every year, and Lonzo certainly has some shortcomings in his game. He's struggling to this point, but ultimately I think he'll figure it out, but who knows?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting to see if Lonzo does start to play less, which I think he there is no reason for Lakers to play him 30 minutes a game. I have no idea why they are. They have no reason to, other than they're afraid of what LaVar Ball is going to say, I think. He's a role player on a okay basketball team, and yet he's a starter on the Lakers, chewing up big minutes, and I'll be curious to see how the family handles if things do start to turn from a benching perspective on Lonzo Ball. Ricky, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Great stuff. Great writing today on ESPNation.com.
Cool. Thanks.
That's Ricky O'Donnell, ESPN Nation, joining us here on Game Night. Look, I mean, you just the numbers don't lie, all right? Kyle Kuzma is a much better player. Against the Rockets, he played 28 minutes, scored 22 points, 8 of 16 shooting, 3 of 7 from behind the three-point line, had 12 rebounds. Double-double, 22 and 12, all right? That is a good player. That is a guy who you look at and go, wow, coming out of Utah, first-round pick, Lakers acquire him. He turns into a really nice player for them. Okay? Now, it's a rookie year, but you don't have to be an all-star. I'm not saying you've got to be unbelievable. What I'm saying is, at the second pick overall, you have to show signs. Even Markelle Fultz before the shoulder injury, you saw signs of the guy, and you were like, whoa, really athletic, really talented, quick to the basket, doing things that you go, all right, that guy could be really a nice player. Have you seen a play, not a pass, a play, where you've gone to Lonzo Ball and gone, whoa, that's a sign of things to come? I've watched a lot of Laker games this year. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe you have. I haven't. More to come.